advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. Retard.
You say funny things.
Happy holidays. I guess we're in the holidays, right?
So, no? Yeah.
It's almost Thanksgiving. It's almost Thanksgiving and all the Christmas stuff is out.
Yeah. As soon as you hit All Hallows Eve, I think it's technically the holidays until New Year's Day.
You get a holiday every month.
Yeah. I think Dollar Tree had Christmas stuff out like a month ago already.
Mm-hmm.
Decorations and stuff.
You don't even get Halloween stuff anymore. Yeah. It's like 2 weeks of Halloween. Shop.
You go into like Michael's or something in fucking June and it's Christmas. But then again, I guess you have to make things.
Yeah. In the beginning of October, there's Christmas stuff out.
Right.
And then they have a little bit of Halloween stuff. Like
my sister decorates her house the week after Halloween.
There's a house on Olive Drive. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's actually my buddy from high school's mom, I guess, but that house goes fucking crazy for no matter what it is. It's like there's a train in the front yard and shit fucking blowing in the wind and fans and castles. It's snowing outside.
We drove by a house the other night in our neighborhood, like around the way, and they had all Christmas lights up already, like full.
There's one on the other side of 24th from us that broadcasts onto the FM radio. Like when you pull it past their house, they have their own radio station for Christmas music.
The weird the thing is though about my sister is she doesn't really buy Christmas presents for people. She doesn't want Christmas presents.
Yeah.
She doesn't decorate the outside of her house. But when you walk into the house, it's like a fucking snowman convention.
That's cool.
It's kind of
like
crazy.
Just like snowmen.
Yeah.
So yeah. Everything is snow. I mean, her son is 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not like it's for kids.
Yeah.
Like she just loves decorating the house.
Yeah.
For Christmas
my kids
and she hooks it up.
My kids love Christmas. Like as soon as it starts coming around, it's in the stores. Like my kids sing Christmas songs all year long, you know, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer shit, you know, like it's all year long. It's Christmas, you know, happiness, which is cool.
I lost that somewhere. Like I remember being little and the Alvin and the Chipmunks fucking record being on at the record player in the house and it smelled like Christmas tree and the music was on all the time. But now I'm just like,
my wife likes
having
decorating.
To buy shit.
Yeah. Like we like to decorate for Halloween, but when we moved, we got rid of I had a ton of Halloween shit and I got rid of it all.
Right.
And like now my wife's like, oh, we should get Halloween stuff. And I was like, we got rid of like $3,000 worth of shit. You know what I mean? Like you accumulate, you know what I mean? Over
the
years,
$3,000.
Oh, probably easy, dude. Like if you spent for 5 years, you spent, you know, a few hundred dollars a year buying Halloween shit. You know what I mean? Like you'd have fucking a lot.
5 years, you spent $600 something every year. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Probably.
$600 on Halloween decorations.
Oh, he had more Halloween decorations than fucking Christmas shit. Like,
My favorite Christmas decoration, and we seldom decorate the outside of the house, but when I just got hired, I had just finished grad school. I lived with two roommates and we wanted to put up some Christmas decorations because like our neighbors were super fucking cool and they put up decorations and we were like, let's put something up.
Like, yeah.
Like
you
fucking
yeah,
mow
you don't look
lawns
like the assholes.
And shit. We were like, you know, we'll hook them up. So we went to Walmart when I still went to Walmart. And went in to get Christmas stuff and there's like all this stuff. And there was like, you know, plastic light up, stand up Santas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I don't know, $150 or something. And there was one of them not in the box and black,
a black Santa.
Yeah.
And there was a sticker on it that just said like $27.99. And I was like, I guess
he was a black Santa.
Exactly. So
nobody wanted black Santa.
I grabbed it and walked up to the line. And as I was standing there,
I don't think I've ever seen a black Santa.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't. And three, like, black women, like, soulful black women were in line ahead of me and they turned around and looked at the Black Santa and they just went,
like someone's gonna fuck your yard up or something.
Like, don't dare
put a Black Santa.
The look
up
on their face was like, even I wouldn't buy that shit.
That offensive?
It's just Coco Santa, and he's holding puppies. Yeah, I still have him.
And he's holding puppies.
Yeah. You put that up still?
Yeah. Whenever we put out decorations,
post a picture of that shit. Yeah.
I almost want that for the house this year, just to borrow it. Like, if you're not doing decorations,
I don't think we'll decorate the outside.
How much does he look like Coleman? Not at all.
I can imagine what he looks like, and it's awesome. I almost do. I'm going to tell my wife, like, and hey, I got a Santa to put in the yard.
Yeah, it's yours. Santa, it's yours for the year.
Wow, so great. I'm excited.
Yeah, Coco Santa rules.
Yeah, Coco Santa.
Yeah.
Gonna do the whiskey first before we get into.
Yeah, we can.
Oh, I didn't even pour. Was that this one? I don't have.
Oh yeah. And I want to while the pour is happening, I want to thank Diana Anzarina for baking amazing vegan cookies and sending them to us at the house.
Are they hard? Are they fluffy? Are they cakey?
They're like
you
among
broke the rule. There could be LSD balls.
They're among the best cookies
that
I've ever had. Like, she's a baker. Mm. Like, that's what she does. And she made snickerdoodles, and she made like sugar cookies with like a hard icing on
them.
That's
my favorite snickerdoodles.
And they're fucking unbelievable. And then I looked on her Instagram, and she's got another Instagram account called @prettysweetconfectionsby. Mm. So @prettysweetconfectionsby, and she actually sells her wares, and she's fucking amazing. Like, I was looking through her store, and it's like the movie Trolls. There's like Trolls cookies that are just fucking dope looking. She did like the Day of the Dead, a Dia de los Muertos cookie, which is fucking unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wouldn't even want to eat most of these cookies because they're just works of art.
I remember
thank you for sending them. They're amazing.
Those SK ones in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they fucking smashed the shit out of them. Security wiped shit all over them. And I was like, God damn it. I went through so much to try to save those and get those home.
Yeah.
But check out her Instagram @prettysweetconfectionsby and thank you for the...
All right. And what are we drinking here?
We're drinking... some brown
liquid.
It's
one of my favorites.
Brown liquid that came out of Josh Haney.
I was excited when I saw this. Yeah.
It used to be in him.
Yeah.
So it is Burnside bourbon from Oregon. And we've got a Burnside bottle, but it's like totally different.
Damn. Is it low alcohol?
That's so
smooth.
It's high. It's 46.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
Oh, I just took a huge sip.
That's really good.
If you don't see it, it's in the special cabinet.
It's like
next time you come back.
Cinnamony.
It's good.
It's just hot because it's
I didn't feel like
higher.
It's hot at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, not hot, hot, but
it's like, but the spice is, like I said, it like blends in with like a cinnamon flavor, so it doesn't feel hot.
I've been telling everybody that the couple there's Burnside and Westward.
Mm-hmm. I know you missed
Westport.
That one. You talk about
West,
all the time.
What was it?
Westward.
Yeah.
Brian Ross. And
those two out of Oregon are fucking some of the best whiskeys. And we have a lot of whiskeys in here that we've tried.
Yeah, you really love the Oregon. So if
the fucking and I hate Oregon.
If you happen to live in Oregon and you're able to score a bottle
Oregon.
Of McMiniman's.
McMiniman. Dave really wants
it. I really want it. I always want to try McMiniman's. And I never get
that's
to
a weird word.
It is
McMiniman's.
Yeah. I would love to get some McMiniman's here so I can check it out.
That too, something else out of Oregon. If you're in Oregon and you can send us some whiskey, some different.
It sounds like it's like candies from McDonald's that come with your Happy Meal. McMiniman's.
Sounds like you can't say M&M's right.
Yeah.
Can I get McMiniman's?
Yeah, little kids like, can I get a McFlurry? I want McMiniman's.
McMiniman's flurry. Yeah.
So do we have a question?
Yeah. This one's from
Techo Winner too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee Cedar.
That son of a bitch.
Says, we said things that hurt his vagina on the football fan smothering episode. Mm. So sorry. He was upset about that.
I got in trouble for putting honey on an apple core from David Apis or whatever. I was like, the fuck honey on an apple core? Yeah. Max just got me again.
That's
I remember
angry,
saying that
angry
shit.
People.
Like very
I remember that.
Yeah.
Apple core and honey.
Mm-hmm.
Says when your vagina hurts, what ointment do you use personally? Is what he's wondering. I just Vagisil.
Yeah. That, mine's blue and white.
Cures all ailments.
It's a blue and white box. I don't know. That's at Rite Aid.
Is that from the dollar store one?
It says compared to. I didn't even see what it's supposed to be.
I either use Tussin or Orenthal.
Yeah. It says Colgate, like compared to Colgate, yeah. I think it says. Yeah.
Does that have like a minty?
It is. It's like a cooling refreshing.
Like a wintergreen.
Yeah.
I finally found wintergreen mouthwash.
Did you?
Yeah. It's a man, the toothpaste world is rough. Like we're trying to find flavors.
I'm glad I'm not picky, man.
Cool mint. And you're like, all right, let me try that one out. And you're like, nah, this one's not it. And
I don't know what's happening. Our toothpaste drawer, we have like four tubes. I'm like, what is this? Yeah. There's like, my daughter has become her own person. So she got some crazy whitening one. And then my son has a little kid one. And
my wife had like, you know, the mouthwash, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like I use a water pick and then I use, you know, and then I brush my teeth and then I used the mouthwash and I was like thinking like, oh yeah, I'm doing good using mouthwash and this and that. And I look at it and it's just a whitening one. There's no fucking no things to help your gums, like no things to help, you know, cavities. No, it kind of was hot, but I, you know, so I like spicy. So I was thinking like, oh yeah.
Bleach will whiten it. You got to make sure you don't swallow any. You got to spit it out, rinse, just do the hang over the sink.
And so
let your tongue hang out.
And so like finally we went back, we used it all and we got one with like a gum care, you know, like, so that one burns pretty good, but it's a wintergreen one though. So
I feel like if it doesn't burn, it's not working.
I drink a little bit of it.
I think that's the new El Yucateco catch line.
It doesn't burn.
If it doesn't burn, it's not working.
That's true.
That's true.
Speaking of that, who won?
Teco winner, Molly Latterner. Latterner?
That's a new name.
Mm-hmm. Molly Latterner. Latterner? I don't know.
What'd she post?
Lanterner.
Rottenberry.
Mulberry ladder lady.
she lives on Mulholland Drive.
Teco. She did a meatloaf with Teco in it. It looked pretty good. I like meatloaf. You guys like meatloaf? Dave, like meatloaf?
When I was little, I didn't
vegan
like meatloaf.
They have vegan meatloaf? I guess they can now with Impossible Meat.
Yeah, you probably could with that stuff. I will admit that there are maybe three or four meat food items that I do miss, and meatloaf is one of them.
Yeah, something weird about meatloaf, dude. Like,
and even
weird
like
about
3 days
not
later, cold, a meatloaf sandwich.
Yeah,
so good.
But yeah, the thought of meatloaf is one of the grossest.
You put ketchup on it?
A loaf of meat.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the weirdest thing is it's a fucking
like
meatloaf.
On it per serving or on the loaf when you cook it?
The answer is yes
to both.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah, because you do put ketchup on the top of it while you're cooking it.
Right.
I like to get my slice and then I put a nice even layer of, and I don't like ketchup on a lot of things.
I don't eat ketchup at all.
I really don't. I don't like ketchup on fries. I don't like it on burgers. You know, I don't like it. Just, you know, whatever
you put
fucking ketchup
on. Burgers
on
to stir it
well,
up.
If I do ketchup and mayonnaise,
I know that's how they make secret sauce.
A little tiny bit,
yeah.
But I'd rather have barbecue sauce. I'd rather put Sweet Baby Ray's on it.
I switched to Mr. Stubbs or whatever that shit's called because there's no high fructose. That Baby Ray's got high fructose.
That's all right. The flavoring.
Nah. Yeah, have you tried the Stubbs one?
Yeah, I've had Stubbs. Mm-hmm. I've had fucking.
There's an old man. There's an old black man on the bottle. I'm buying it.
It's not. Yeah, Stubbs. Stubbs is stubby.
New tripping.
I don't like it. People use Casey Masterpiece garbage.
Garbage.
So I was doing really good on my diet, and then to the point that I got like loose, and I was like, I'm gonna have some peanut butter and shit here. I've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
But it became a problem again. Like I went through pounds. Like, I did, yeah. I gained
you're an addict.
10 pounds.
So you're an addict. We've seen this with alcohol.
Yeah.
And you can't do it with peanut butter too. You're just,
so I made some shit last night. This happened. Like I had my wife get peanut
green
butter.
Green beans and peanut butter.
And I was like, it'll be fine. They'll hide it. I'll regulate it. And so they hid it, but she hid it in my kids' rooms. So I'm not going to go sneaking like through my kids' rooms in the middle of the night looking for peanut butter.
Right.
But so, you did.
No, I didn't. I thought about it, but I didn't do it. I was in the kitchen, but in my whole workout phase, I bought this stuff called PB Fit, and it's like powdered peanut
I've had
butter.
It before.
You throw it in your shake.
It actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah, in your shake, it's fine. But then, like, I was up in the middle of the night. No, you can't eat it. It's like cinnamon. It's like, I tried, actually. Like, you can't do it. You, like, spit, cough, blow out dust clouds. Like, you can't do it. But it said on the side, this is how, like, much I want peanut butter in the middle of the night. I was reading directions.
Just eat some peanut butter,
on how to, I didn't have it. It's hidden.
I literally have to tear my kids. It's not about that.
I will go through such a quantity, dude. The caloric fucking intake that I will have in.
Give yourself.
It's not a matter of rational decision, dude.
No. Give yourself, like, how many spoons do you want? 2 spoonfuls. Okay. And put it in a thing.
Little containers.
You know, yeah. That way you know you can get up in the middle of the night and that's there, even though the rest of it's hidden, but you can only get to that.
When we just hide it, then I just don't do it. There's this period of like wandering around. I get some water.
If you know you can get up and have just a spoonful, it's there.
Maybe.
It's there for you. You can't eat the whole jar and you can't put water in it and drink water out of it.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, you just have a spoonful.
Well, just so put it on a spoon, wrap that bitch in saran wrap, set it on the counter.
And you know it's there.
This is how far I went last night. I wanted peanut butter on a banana, and I fucking went and got like a paper bowl. Like
you stuck
a disposable
it in your wife's
bowl, put it right in her butt, and then no. So I get the PB Fit shit out, and I like read directions, talking about 3 in the morning, reading directions, it put powder into a bowl, kept adding water and stirring that shit until I made peanut butter. But the problem is, it is not like...
No, it's not sweet.
It's like peanut butter frosting or something weird. It was fucking weird. And I didn't enjoy it at all. And I stood there and ate a not ripe banana, like a green banana.
Crying.
With peanut butter frosting on it.
It's the banana that you can't break. It's so hard still. Yeah.
Like, it was like, it did the trick. I went back to sleep, but I was so fucking sad while it was happening. I was like, I might get sick by eating whatever this is. It was like green banana and fucking peanut butter frosting. It was horrible.
You had the same experience as people who have a hooker addiction.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they're fucking this horrible hooker.
Yeah.
And you're sad
really
at the same time.
It's really close.
You're sad at the same time. You have the same feeling, though. Yeah. That's the thing. Right. You weren't doing the same
guilt,
thing, but you have
regret,
the same guilt, regret,
dissatisfaction.
And you don't want to do it anymore. Right. Yeah. You want to stop. But
it's over.
Keep going.
It happened. I can't take it back.
But you're
going to
do it again.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
The steps are the same. The act is pretty different, but the steps of grievance are the same.
Yeah. So, also, I wanted to say, Chad Atkinson, presentation is everything. So, me and you know what you're talking about, and I'm telling you, presentation is everything.
It's important. Whether it's pubic trimming, dinner, it's important.
So, he had a post that it was on the tech, trying to win the Techo, hot box. Mm-hmm. He said, don't mind the presentation. And I said, no, we do mind. Cause that's what gets it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the presentation is just it. That's what wins it.
The plating is crucial.
The banana Techo won just by the presentation.
Right.
If you had Techo bottle and a banana sitting there and you said Techo and a banana, no, that's not going to get it. But when you got the Techo open and it's there with the Techo on it, the presentation won you the hot sack. So Chad Atkinson, the presentation is everything.
It's borderline sexual,
it
Chad.
Is.
You got to do it right.
You have to understand. I have to feel aroused when I see that photo.
Yeah.
And with the meatloaf, I felt that way.
Right.
I really did. So.
Do we have a sculpt member of the month?
Yeah, November, Antoinette Yancey. We know her, we love her. So she recently went on vacation to Europe, she said. She wants to tell us a few things she did while she was there. So Giotto Rossi, Xander Novak, Adelmo Mueller, Benito Garcia, and Oliver Smith. 5 is okay. The reason she didn't do 6, she would be considered a whore.
Mm. It's a fine line.
Sounds like she fucked her way through.
Well, what was the time? What was the time frame?
I think she was there for 3 days only.
Okay, yeah, 6 is six. You cross a line.
You have to take a shower between the morning.
So she didn't do. Yeah, she didn't do 2 a day every day.
Right.
If she at any point didn't take a shower between sessions, she's a whore.
She didn't say that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a rule.
That is a rule,
Antoinette. You know.
Hmm. Well,
we talked about this before.
Yeah. You coached her?
Yeah.
You coached her before.
It smelled funny after. Yeah. And I questioned it. I was concerned.
So what's did you take a shower?
What's our topic today?
I took a shower.
You know what our topic is.
No, I asked that genuinely. I think it's this one, but I really don't remember what we decided.
You decided it.
Queen Mary.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I still don't know what RMS stands for, though.
In your hands.
RMS.
Yeah. RMS Queen Mary.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Royal Marine Service.
Yep.
Is that?
Yep.
I believe so. Royal Maritime Service. Marine Service?
Royal, probably Maritime Service. Yeah. Let me look at what that
is. I'm making that up, but it's...
That sounds really legit.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I'm curious, too.
Urban Dictionary.
I like how you're looking up an Urban Dictionary. It's going to be a sex move.
Real massive shit.
Realty Management Services.
Realty Management Services is... That's one here in town.
It would actually fit. It makes
Root
sense.
Mean Square could be that.
Risk Management Solutions.
Some fucking Navy guy right now.
I mean, like on
out,
ship.
Losing his shit.
Royal Mail Ship. is what
really
S on a ship means.
Well, probably not in this case though.
Sometimes steamship or steamer.
Yeah, Royal Mail ship.
As in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cleveland steamer.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, breed uniform RMS.
So this was on the list of voted topic, the Queen Mary. Specifically, they wanted to talk about the hauntings of the Queen Mary, mm-hmm. but I think it's kind of important to go into the history of the Queen Mary before you get to the hauntings, because the history of the ship is probably the cause of the hauntings.
Dude, my favorite part of the studying was the manufacturing of the ship. Like, I watched a bunch of old ass videos of dudes hammering rivets.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, holy shit. Cause there's like 2 million rivets.
Yeah.
It's like every couple inches
of
rivets.
Have you saw the ship like in person?
I have been when I was little. I went to the Spruce Goose and to the Queen Mary, but I don't really remember much of it. I just remember being in awe of looking up of how big it was.
And I went just a few years ago.
Yeah, I did too.
And really,
I think you went right after I went.
I went during the Rob Zombie thing, and I talked about going to the Rob Zombie haunted houses before, but he had it was at the Queen Mary, and then they had the haunted houses through the Queen Mary.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you went to any of the haunted stuff there.
Yeah, the one thing when you walk up to the ship, you see the panels, and you're like, holy
dude,
fuck.
Watching them move,
it's
that
not just
stuff
like a piece of metal.
The metal and rivet it.
Yeah, it's pieces patched together.
Mm-hmm. And there's a dude on the backside hammering in unison against the back of the rivet.
Yeah.
And like some guy just throwing him out of a fucking Whitehall hot like coal fire at their feet. And then they pick it up with a clamp, and put it in place, and then start going tink, tink,
and
tink,
obviously,
tink, tink, from each side, smashing it out.
Obviously, this isn't the only ship like that.
No.
No, everything was made that way. That was the thing. They didn't have anything but manual labor. Like the way they were bending everything, all these forms, and they were just,
it's impressive.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
And it wasn't the only one made that way, but it was the biggest, fastest one made that way. Like, and that was one thing that I was kind of surprised. For some reason in my head, I thought it was the sister ship to the Titanic, but it wasn't. It's the sister ship to the Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
And it's bigger and faster than the Titanic, like significantly.
I would think something so big is not that fast, but it could outrun U-boats. Like U-boats couldn't catch that motherfucker. Like
that's impressive because it's a big ship.
I have it somewhere in here. The
38 miles an hour.
Because it goes, it topped out in its speed trials at 34 knots, and it would regularly run at 30 knots. And this is in fucking 1936, right?
This thing's ran by propeller.
Right. I was curious, and I looked up what current cruise ships do, and a typical cruise ship right now runs between 21 and 24 knots, and the fastest ones on the ocean run at 30.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker was going 30 to 34.
The other thing that
near 100 years ago,
I think
it's still considered one of the fastest ships.
I think cruise ships now are a little bit bigger. They're pretty large.
There's a picture you can
this
see
thing's huge.
Where it's docked in Long Beach. That's where my wife just went on a cruise. The Carnival cruise is right there.
Yeah.
And so you can see it by that spruce dome or whatever where they're checking. You can see them setting side by side. The cruise ship does look bigger.
It's a little bit
maybe
bigger.
Maybe in height is where it looks bigger.
Probably.
It's bulkier moving up.
Spruce Goose isn't in the dome anymore.
I just know it's big.
That's the Carnival check.
What I was going to say about the Queen Mary.
Check in for the Carnival.
I know we're going to get to the hauntings later, but it's really weird. Like a house. You have a house and one house. And we talked about this with the knife thing. There's two knives.
Right.
One killed somebody.
Yes, there are.
You know what I mean? Only
if you brung two.
Yeah, if you brung two, then you have two of them. But there's two knives.
Yeah.
One's killed somebody and the other one hasn't. There's something weird going on with the one that has.
You bring a knife to a boat fight.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes with like houses and the boat. Like, you know, somebody died inside the boat.
Right.
Which
a lot
immediately
of people
gives
died
it.
In the fucking boat.
Yeah.
A ton of people.
Yeah. But I'm saying like just even knowing one person, a little girl drowned in the pool.
Allegedly,
now it makes
though.
Allegedly, but it makes it weird.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, whether you know or not.
Even on some of the other topics and something we're going to talk about later this week is like when an event occurs somewhere, like a mass shooting.
Yeah.
They like tear the fucking building down or renovate the entire wing of it and change it out.
Yeah.
They're like, a coat of paint is not going to get the juju out of this fucking place.
Yeah. It's the juju.
There's something to
it's
that.
The juju. It's not. Yeah. Because you could clean everything and make it back normal again. But for whatever reason, if it's the same place, it's
that's why they don't
weird.
Repurpose concentration camps because there's so much bad juju.
Yeah. I went there like two.
I mean, is there
2.5 years ago?
Somebody got that joke. Yeah.
I went there 2.5 years ago and I performed a wedding.
Bad juju.
And we all stayed on the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
And there's just juju.
Right.
Yeah. Like you walk up the fucking shining hallway. Like,
yeah.
I checked in and was just like walking up the eternal straight hallway towards my room. And I was like, ugh. And you kind of swipe your key card and get into your room. And I got in my room and I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm
it's
sleeping
fucking
here
weird.
Tonight.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. And it's just little, like, and it's just little things are always off. It's, I mean, it's on the water. So you always kind of feel that. And the
about that, they noises. Said that originally when they engineered the Queen Mary, they thought that it was so large that the ride was going to be smooth. There's just no way that it was going to be a problem.
Fuck no.
So they didn't put handrails anywhere inside the fucking ship. And
how
so
would you
after
do that
first,
on the ocean?
Yeah,
like, Jesus their first Christ. Maiden voyage, they had to have they called ahead and had ambulances waiting for all the injured people. They got fucking
getting
tossed
slammed.
Around.
It was like a fucking floating mosh pit.
Yeah,
like
so,
getting slammed
and it was because
into
it like rolled
everywhere.
Around and it would bounce fuck, people yeah. off the walls yeah. this way. It wasn't so much this; it was. Yeah. Side to side motion. Yeah. So I watched an interview with the captain. And they put like miles, dude. It was like, so we had to install 22 miles of Bakelite handrails. Yeah. So it was back before they had plastic or anything. And they already used every fucking tree in Africa to build that thing. They have such exotic woods. There's like 57 known exotic woods in there. Like they took wood from every fucking part of the world to make every single thing in there.
Right.
It's like
cool.
insane.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I mean the doors like in the hotel rooms and so forth, I mean, they have, I mean, it's a ship, so there's like that raised metal lip that you have to step over to walk into the room, which is fine going into the room from the hallway, but the one in the bathroom is just a goddamn it.
Because
it's
not wearing
just
shoes
like
at that
all
point.
Fucking night. Yeah. You god damn it.
Yeah.
Fucking thing. Like, but no, it's just, and it's all Art Deco decorated still. And it's just, and I didn't even do any of the haunted shit. We just did a wedding.
Did you go look at the, like take the tour where like past the propeller and shit? Like you could see the propeller.
I didn't have any time.
Yeah. They have like, you walk through this room and there's the propeller's in the water.
There's only one left. Like, they like gutted that ship.
Yeah.
Like one of four or something.
Yeah, because it's not going anywhere. Yeah, right. It's just a hotel on water.
They filled
water,
the
basically.
Gas tanks with mud.
Yeah.
Local mud, it said. Uh-huh. I was like, that's weird.
So it's probably toxic waste.
To balance the ship, they filled it with mud.
Yeah. And you walk through this room and you walk around and you can see in the water and they have it lit up and it's the propeller. And
horrifying.
It's huge, dude. Like, it's
that's
impressive.
I had
like,
a problem when I remember seeing the boat and just remembering that I was more afraid of what was below the water for some reason because I knew
there's
such
more
a
of
large,
the boat below the water than
a large portion
it.
Of that boat was below the water. And for some reason, it terrifies the fuck out of me.
Right.
Thinking just the visualization of the portion of the boat that's under the water scares the fuck out of me.
And one of the things that I read is that it's in order to maximize the hoteliness, it's raised up higher than it ever would have been
really?
In the water. So they had to even repaint the ship so that like the water line is
the red
now
line,
moved.
Yeah.
And they even put portholes in because then now they made staterooms in what would have been underwater.
Right.
So now you can look out your porthole. And,
I wonder
you know,
if it was more
whatever.
For because the psychological factor or if it was a true safety issue as well. I mean, probably both, but I bet people would trip out to sleep underwater. They probably don't want to do it.
They probably don't want to do it and they probably just want a window.
Yeah.
I mean, that's mine true. Had a little fucking porthole,
right.
But it made all the difference in the world. I mean, you got sunlight, you'd open it up and get some fresh, you know, LBC air coming in from the water. But yeah, so it was built in 1936 and it was, like we said, super fast. It won the Blue Riband, I guess.
I kept seeing that, yeah.
Which was basically the fastest cruise ship that could, I think that could make the Atlantic run would win that. And it won it several times, lost it, then went faster and won it again. But super fast, super big. But the construction was, they started to build it and, I thought this was interesting. They started to build it and the depression hit. So no one had the money to finish building the ship.
It sat idle for 27 months.
Yeah.
It just sat there. I was like, fuck, I bet that like all kinds of things could happen. It could just rust apart being exposed, not
exactly,
painted.
Exactly. So, they're building this 75,000 ton ship. And it's a reaction.
75,000 tons.
Yeah. And it's a reaction because I guess other countries had cruise lines that were in mail services and so forth that were launching even bigger ships.
Right.
So this was kind of a reaction to
Germany specifically, I think. Yeah.
This is
before airplanes. It's before the whole Howard Hughes thing.
Right.
That's the only way you were going to get across the ocean. And so they wanted to not be behind on the whole building a fucking boat thing.
And I even remember, at one point they even, I can't remember what they did, but they had like a rabbi do something at the beginning of like blessing the ship and all this stuff. And they said they specifically did it to counteract the anti-Semitism coming out of Nazi Germany at the
time.
They
also had like a Jewish praying room or something.
Yeah, praying room.
There's
as
a
well.
Jewish praying room. Yep. I saw that.
But so originally it was just called Hull Number 534, which I think is a dope name. I think they should.
It's tradition to wait until the end, like
to build it,
to name it.
So,
and there's a bunch of weird superstition around boat stuff. Like they have all kinds of weird stuff. They follow that shit to the team.
It's weird. Like one, I know a lot of people might not know this. Like there's a lot of really weird superstitions in the theater as well. Like if you do theater,
I think the
theater superstition is a bleed over from naval superstition because the theaters used to be run by seamen, for lack of a better word.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew how to handle the knots. They knew how to handle the ropes. They did all that stuff. So the weird superstitions in the theater tend to come from there because if you were docked and you weren't going to sail for a while, you would get a job at a theater.
You could have said sailors. Then, you know, you could have.
I couldn't, though. those superstitions are somewhat the same. But so it sits there forever, and they sought a loan from the British government to get enough money to complete the ship. And the point was that the reason they wanted to build a second one,
right,
which is kind of ballsy. They were like, we don't have money to build this ship. Can you bail us out and give us enough to build a second one?
It's because they wanted to have a return trip, right, as the other trip was coming across, right, to New York. They wanted to be able to knock it out like in three, right, days,
so
4 days.
So the Queen Mary would, yeah, go one way, and as soon as it docked, they would swap out with the Queen Elizabeth, right, going back the other way. But so the government said, yeah, we'll pay for it. But they said that these two...
There was competing shipbuilding companies, right, like the White Star or something.
It was the White Star line and the Cunard line.
Yeah.
And
they were direct competitors.
Right. They said, we'll bail you out, but you two have to merge.
You guys have to shake hands too, because it wasn't really they didn't want to do it.
Right. Right.
And then I read somewhere that's kind of how they got the name Queen Mary, because it was a compromise. Well, they said there's a lot of thought process behind it, but like one company always had a tradition of naming boats ending in IA, Victoria, and the other one was the Cunard. Yeah, the other one was IC or something, like Atlantic. And so they compromised to say, well, no one gets credit. It's the Queen Mary, and it won't be either of our traditions, so it doesn't look like someone got credit.
Did you see the funky thing about the king? Because one of the legends surrounding the name of it is that they would turn to the king to get permission. Like, we want to name the ship this, because they would typically name it after monarchs.
Right.
So they would always get, just as a nod of the hat, get the king's permission. So they went to King George V, I think is who it would have been. But they went to him, and they apparently all that they said was, according to this thing, that they were talking about naming it the Elizabeth, the first one. They said we want to name it after our greatest queen. And he said, yes, that's a great idea, Queen Mary, because that was his wife.
Right.
Oh, wow.
and at that point, they're like, okay, Your Highness.
And there was already another boat named the Queen Mary at the time. And so they had to go like talk some fucking other place into changing the name of their boat.
Right.
That can't be good juju.
That does seem weird. Yeah.
I don't know that you'd change the name of your boat.
No icebergs, though. It works out.
That's true. Yeah. So they ended up changing number 534 to the Queen Mary. The technical specs are pretty crazy. It went 32.84 knots during its initial trials in 1936. And it ended up going, a cruising speed of 31.69 knots. Which again is faster than any cruise ship goes right now.
Yeah.
And that wasn't it trying to break records and do shit. That was just a comfortable, like, we can go that fast and get there without any upset.
Like on their maiden voyage, I think they hit, I don't know in knots what it was, because I just kept checking the miles per hour, but like 38 miles an hour was their top speed. 160,000 horsepower. And then the engines had a maximum output of like 220,000 horsepower. Right, but
it's only halfway.
Yeah, but so at 160,000 horsepower,
two-thirds of the power.
They could do 38 miles an hour.
So the interior is crazy. And if you go there now, it's pretty dope. I mean, you walk around, like, I didn't go on any tours, but I just fucking walked around the ship. And it's like, oh, this is where you would have played shuffleboard. And that's the fucking Art Deco bar. And
it
this
was
is,
the benchmark for like fancy
and they,
as fuck.
And they restored all that stuff, because even when it changed purposes, Which I didn't know this because I was like, oh, because at one point when we'll get there in a minute, during World War II, it got drafted basically and became a warship, and they gutted it and took out everything.
It was full of seamen at the bottom.
Like that is a fucking undertaking.
But here's the thing: they
in
gutted
more than
it
one
all.
Way, 800,000 men. There's a lot of seamen in two ways. Yeah.
They gutted it all and stored it because they knew at the end of the war
it was going.
We're
going
to restore it, and it said that there were 6 miles of carpet.
Yep.
Like, it, wow. You know, and it's just fucking
that
crazy.
They pulled out and then they put leather over all the wood walls. Like, right. God damn. Because
they didn't want the wall. They didn't want the walls damaged.
Fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
To protect the walls because it was all made out of crazy ass
and it's
wood.
All hand carved and gorgeous.
And the pillars, and I was like, how did they do that with wood? What are they doing? Like, the pillars were like round and it's all like tiger maple from fucking
Africa.
No, it's dope.
It's a crazy place.
It's fucking dope. But yeah, they had 2 swimming pools, beauty salons, libraries, children's
nurseries.
They were
full of seawater, too. It was like, not, was it? Yeah, it was actual seawater. Wow. I was like, that's weird.
No, it's, I mean, don't have to chlorinate it or fuck with it. You can always get more.
Get away with it. You could pee in there.
Open the valve.
Yeah. You're fucking good. But yeah, the, because there were 3 different classes. So you'd book, you know, passage in one of the 3 classes. The first class pool was 2 stories tall. Which is strange.
That's where a lot of the ghost stuff happens too, is in the pool area.
Well, there's upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
There's a balcony.
Oh, yeah.
Balcony to it. That's the one. That's the one. It's empty right now.
Well, even like the ballroom or whatever it was like 7 stories tall. I was just trying to picture like logistically when you're building that thing, like picturing that out, what engineer drew that shit.
Right.
But yeah, it was through 7 stories of the fucking boat was that one room just to have the fucking the ceilings like that.
Yeah, balconies and whatnot.
Yeah. 7 decks, I guess.
Decks, yeah.
Yeah, decks. So... in August of 1939, it was on a return run from New York to Southampton. And this is when everything was ramping up pre-World War II. And they were getting worried enough that every time it would make passenger runs, they would send battle cruisers with her so that it wouldn't fucking get scuttled by a U-boat. Even though I don't think England was in the war yet, they were still sinking all kinds of shit. So the battle cruiser HMS Hood was escorting it. It got safely to England, set out back again on September 1st to New York. And then by the time it got to New York, the war had broken out.
Right.
So it gets to New York, the war is broken out, and it remains in port for several months. It doesn't leave until March of 1940 because it's unsafe for it to come back. They're not really sure what to send it back to. And then in 1940, it goes along with the Normandy and the Queen Elizabeth. And
the Normandy burns down because they're trying to retrofit the fucker and they burn it.
They
down
retrofit. And this is the first cruise of the Elizabeth gets to New York. And then it becomes a warship.
Right.
They repaint
it gray.
They retrofit all 3 of them and the Normandy fucking burns down.
That sucks.
Has to be a bad fire for a metal ship to burn
down. No shit. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's full of fuel.
9/11 in the boat.
Yeah.
And it didn't go down though.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
just floating there.
Yeah.
So they turn them into troop ships and initially it's sailing from, it goes to New York. It goes from New York to Australia, and in Sydney is where they do the retrofitting because it's still a British territory, and it's out of the threat of the U-boats because it's on the other fucking side of the world.
I wrote in my notes that it's a conspiracy. It has Brad's name next to it because it says that, Australia, it was carrying Australian troops and New Zealand soldiers over to the United Kingdom to fight in the war, which we know that they didn't actually fight in the war.
Right, that's right. So they painted it gray, and because it was so fast and it couldn't be tracked down by U-boats because it would outrun everything, and because of the color, it got nicknamed the Gray Ghost. And this always kind of weirds me out. It got fitted with degaussing coils.
Those magnetic fucking...
To send magnetic waves away from the ship. And I know that was common practice for ships back there so they wouldn't get hit with magnetic mines, but it just kind of freaks me out a little bit.
There was fish just fucking delirious all around that. They based Finding Nemo off that. That's how he got lost the first time. It's fucking, it can't be good. I bet that fucks with some sea life for sure.
Yeah, but in the retrofit, 6 miles of carpet, 220 cases of china, crystal and silver service, tapestries and paintings were removed, and then everything is covered with leather. So that's just had to be, that had to be even weirder. Now you're walking through a ship where everything is leather. It's like the fucking S&M.
Yeah, I wonder,
ship.
I wonder what the inside, like, what the pictures look like inside.
Yeah, this, during the war.
It has a soul of a 10,000 cattle.
Yeah.
Fucking hanging on the walls.
Fuck.
And so, on top of, they fucking run over their escort while they have the souls of 1,000 cattle. There's an escort ship that they fucking split in two.
Yeah.
And killed like fucking 300 allied soldiers in the middle of the night.
So it was the fastest ship in the fleet, and it would carry as many as 15,000 men in a single voyage. 15,000 motherfuckers packed
that's
in
a,
that ship.
That's a load of semen right
yes,
there.
Yes, it is. That's a hefty load of semen.
It was a fractal of like sperms in a load, like all the way down.
And it would travel super fast and zigzag so that U-boats couldn't track them. And even if they could, they couldn't match pace.
Right.
So they would just, so it was, even though it was like the largest target in the fleet, it was the fastest ship in the fleet. So you were the safest in that ship than you would be in any other ship.
Yeah, you because could the get U-boats away. At least you could get away.
Yeah.
And they were on orders to not stop no matter what.
Right.
So when they fucking run their escort over, they can't stop.
Yeah.
Can't
so it was the HMS Curacoa, and it was off the Irish coast, and they zigzagged, and the Curacoa didn't, and they literally just cut the fucking ship in
they
half.
Zagged and they zigged.
Yeah.
And then even though they were, they had a fractured stem. You know, we all know what that feels like.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. When it slips out and you hit against the bed, like the wood, if you're doing on the edge.
It just bends.
Yeah. So they had a fractured stem and they were under orders not to slow down under any.
For the record, my daughter said to not cuss on this episode because she's into the Titanic, or not Titanic, the Queen Mary, and she really wanted to listen to this. Well, and I was like, babe, there's no way. I was like, in my head, I was like, semen jokes, there's just all kinds of shit going down.
Just tell her to go back and listen to a radio episode.
She's not this one, honey.
She likes the Queen Mary.
I don't know.
Or no, she's into semen or
no? What? Last night she was like, she was watching shit. I was like, what are you watching? She's like, just my conspiracy theory shit. And I was like, what conspiracy theory shit are you watching? And she's like, oh, it's these BuzzFeed guys that do all these unsolved conspiracy mystery things.
Yeah,
I've watched those guys. Yeah. They actually had a good one on this. And I was like, what are you watching right now? She's like, Queen Mary. I was like, that's fucking weird. Like, that's what she was watching as I was ramping up to start watching documentaries last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it more factual information?
That actually, BuzzFeed was one of the best ones that there was. Actually,
they have decent.
It was like a still shot, crazy old like radio broadcast one that was like 1943. Like that was just sitting there, like fucking. I was like, ugh, move the picture for me, please. I need moving pictures.
So at one point they carried 16,683 people on one voyage. And it still holds a record for the most passengers ever transported on one vessel. So that's the fucking scale of this ship.
Yeah, you can't make a plane that can do that shit.
No,
you know what
fuck
I mean?
No, you can't.
So, yeah, you might.
And it's going to get them there in 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking crazy. Like, you need fucking 15,000 able-bodied troops in 3 days. We got you covered.
Yeah. Yeah, Christopher Columbus just watering at the mouth. Like,
do you know how many brown people I could enslave with that many people?
Three days?
Yeah. And one thing that I read was at one point during this, I think it was actually on that particular trip with the 16,683 people, the captain's log states that the ship almost capsized because it got hit with a rogue wave.
A rogue wave.
That was 92 feet tall.
Yeah.
Mother.
They said if it had.
That's like some Point Break shit right there.
It tilted like, I don't know, 50.
That's the wave that killed
52 degrees.
If it was 3 degrees more, ship would have capsized.
Yeah.
3 degrees. That's how close they came.
Yeah. 92-foot wave.
There's pictures of it on, if you Google, you know, Queen Mary, it's tipped. Like they're fucking picking it up, you know, where.
Yeah.
It's tipped over.
Yeah. Can you imagine seeing the horizon and all of a sudden like the water level at the fucking edge of the, like, whoa.
There's some weird. I watched this movie when I was little. And it was on Cinemax or HBO or something. My grandpa had, you know, fucking
Skinemax,
you know, cable. Yeah. No, it was a movie, but a boat capsized. And it was a big, like, cruise ship.
The Poseidon Adventure.
That's actually based off of this event.
And it's,
right?
And it's where they're at the end of the movie, they're on the bottom of the boat. It's fuck, that movie?
Yeah, that's Poseidon the SS Poseidon 1972. And that's actually based off like a dramatized version, had this gone a little
worse. That movie
worse.
Fucked me up as a kid.
Yeah. I kind of want to go on like an Alaskan cruise or something and do something like that. But that movie has me fucking scared. Like, still to this day.
That movie was right.
I have images of that movie in my head.
Yeah. My wife just got back from a cruise. It was her birthday. I didn't go. I was like, nah, I'm not going on the boat. I'm not doing it.
Somebody went.
Somebody got on that boat.
Somebody had tacos.
Yeah.
The Poseidon Adventure, the author of the novel, The Poseidon Adventure, that the film was based on, was, if I remember right, he was on that. I think he was on that trip.
Maybe.
Oh, really?
And then he's years like, later, make a movie about this. He wrote the.
A bunch of the scenes were actually filmed on the Queen Mary, though. Yeah. On that movie.
And then during the war, it carried Winston Churchill here and there. It carried a ton of American troops.
See the part about war brides? It brought war brides to Canada.
I couldn't find more about it. So, yeah, at the close of the war, once the war was over, the ship began to transport more than 22,000 war brides and their children.
A bunch of GIs just brought some German,
Canada.
Some
fuck
German
yeah,
ladies
did.
Over.
All kinds of shit. You would imagine. I mean, Brits and Frenchies and fucking Belgians and like
all those love letters. Yeah, they met them like one night in the fucking in the brothel and kept sending correspondence.
So it made 13 voyages.
Hey, doll.
In 1946, it made 13 bride and baby voyages.
Damn.
And brought 22,000 war brides and babies over. So I think the babies were the important part. That was probably why they were allowed in the countries.
And someone had to take care of them. They were officially American.
And I promise you, right after the war, if you were like a French damsel with a brand new baby and you could get your ass to your fucking GI living in fucking Ohio where there's like food and not fucking rubble and fucking rats. And I mean, Europe was fucking destroyed and you have no food and no job and a baby and you can fucking get to America with the GI. Like those were pretty important cruises.
They were giving them that opportunity. There was like open doors at that time for that.
I think if they got married. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, so then it got retired.
They used sex to advance their career.
Yes, they did. So and then it went back to the cruise line and stayed in service until 1967. And on its final cruise, its 1,000th crossing across the North Atlantic.
I thought that was cool that worked out on that. Yeah. They're like, we can do a couple more.
Yeah, I think they had to have. They were like,
it could have been like 915. Yeah. They're like, we're operating at a loss. We're losing millions of dollars. There's more crew than passengers every time we come across.
Right.
But they're like, it'll land on 1,000. That'd work out. Let's just call it good at 1,000.
Yeah. So on the 1,000th crossing, it gets to New York and then it had carried over 2 million passengers, almost 4 million miles in its career. Hmm. And the captain who sailed her on her final voyage was named Captain John Treasure Jones.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking pirate. John Treasure Jones? That's a fucking pirate name.
Yeah.
It
was 1967, so he could have been he could have been like a hardcore soul brother with a big old afro.
It could have.
Like, he was a John Treasure Jones.
He's like, want to look into my treasure chest, girl?
All right.
Idiocracy. It was fucking, what's his name? What's the guy from Idiocracy? The president.
I can't remember his name. Something Jones, isn't it?
I think it's.
I'm drawing a blank.
Joel Ransom.
Herbert
Camacho.
Yeah, Herbert Camacho. Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking Terry Crews. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
There you go. That's a pro. Oh, that's Terry Crews.
I was fucking excited. Yeah. I was fucking excited. The new host for America's Got Talent. They got rid of Tyra Banks. Mm-hmm. It's fucking Terry Crews.
Oh, nice. Really?
I was like, ecstatic.
He's not going to wear a shirt.
Yeah, I don't care. Terry Crews is fucking funny, man. Yeah, like he's a fucking funny motherfucker. Fuck,
yeah. So
love Terry Crews.
Wait, they got rid of Tyra Banks?
Yeah.
That's the one on stage, the model?
Yeah, yeah.
Aw.
Or Tyra Banks.
There was judges they could have traded out instead of Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
She's your girl too, Dave. That girl is like fucking 7 foot tall.
She bugs the shit out of me.
That's the only girl you can kiss without standing on your tippy toes.
You don't like Tyra Banks? You just don't like black people.
Yeah, pretty much.
We just lost our token. God
except
you
for
guys.
John Treasure Jones.
Yeah, you delete this shit.
So it ends up sailing. And again, it tells you the state of the ship at the time. It makes its final voyage with 1,093 passengers and 806 crew. Like that was kind of the point that it had gotten.
Not making any money. Yeah.
So the city of Long Beach buys it, which again, I didn't know that either. Long Beach owns the Queen Mary.
It passed hands like quite a few times.
Well, they always owned it.
Okay.
But they leased it. They leased its management.
I saw that, like, people. I thought Disney acquired it and owned it at one point, that Disney bought it.
Did Disney buy it from Long Beach?
I think so. Something happened where, like,
because I kept reading a bunch of leases. Like, there was always a fight over who got the rights to run it as a hotel. I didn't know if anybody would have bought it. I guess it would have been Disney.
Yeah, it said
Garrison Investment owns it right now.
1984 to 1988, maybe. When holdings were bought by the Walt Disney Company. Oh, okay.
So the LBC sold it then.
LBC. Mm-hmm. That's a cool way to say it.
It is.
Never mind. Yeah, they were going to make a like Port Disney, like Disney Sea, and they ended up doing it in Tokyo or some shit. And then they had Fukushima, and that ruined it. And that was three-eyed fish ride.
Yep. So 1971, it becomes a tourist hotel, and apparently it wasn't, it was just like a little bit was open. It was like, it was open on the weekends and you could come and stay the night one night.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something like that.
Then it, after a number of years, it made enough money that they could renovate, because they had to renovate everything.
Yeah. They tore the boiler rooms. Yeah, the lower
asbestos
decks.
In that thing was probably insane.
So they were slowly renovating it. And then it was like, oh, and now we can do this whole floor all week.
Back then it was,
and then it was like, oh, now we can do another deck. And then so very slowly they got everything.
When did we find out it was bad for us, asbestos?
Oh, it was bad for you?
Oh, he's like, I eat it.
I've been sprinkling that shit on my food for years.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're used to it. Yeah. I think if you start small.
Yeah.
And, you build up to it. And yeah. I think you're all right.
But so yeah, it goes through different leases and owners. And as of, and one thing that I read recently was a 2017 report on the ship's condition was issued, and it said that the hull and the supports were corroding and
corroded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it left areas of the ship and the engine room vulnerable to flooding. And yeah.
Which you can't sink, I guess. Like, it's on.
If the fucking.
That thing's.
It's not floating. Is it floating?
Yeah.
It's still floating. I thought it was floating.
Well, it says there are supports. So I don't know.
It's in the water. I think it's on like a stand, basically. Yeah.
Right.
So that it doesn't move. So you can be in the hotel.
Right.
And it doesn't really.
They had to fill the gas tanks with mud to keep it like balanced. Because I guess when they removed all the equipment, like those steam stacks or whatever, were all fucked up, and they had to replace those. Plus, they removed them to crane all the shit out of the middle.
I wonder how many barnacles are on the bottom of that thing.
They probably have to constantly get at it.
Well, usually they take them out of the water. I guess they could be done in the water.
Because I remember I went on one cruise once, and when we were like every port that we stopped in, like when you would do like a furlough on land. There were people,
Bert's barnacle service.
There were people scraping barnacles and painting sections of the ship every single time.
Wow.
Like the ship was like just constantly.
It's like the Golden Gate Bridge.
It's kind of, they just, once you get done with one section.
How about we start a new business? It's Brent and Brad's Barnacle Remediation.
Ooh,
yeah, oh, nice.
I can do it.
What about Dave?
He answers the phone and shit.
Yeah.
Still get the same pay.
Yeah.
His name just doesn't fit in.
So the repairs that they need to do are an estimated $300 million. The city of Long Beach put in $23 million to the most vital repairs.
Everyone that leases it has trouble making money, though. It's just like a fucking money pit,
dude. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Because it's not a building.
Right.
You have something that requires constant maintenance. Like a building requires maintenance.
Right.
But this is in the fucking water.
Yeah.
In the
constantly
sea.
Corroding.
Yeah, and it's not moving. You know what I mean? Right. So, it's kind
and
of a...
Political leaders in Scotland have called the UK Prime Minister to pressure the American government to fully fund the repair of the ship.
Like, I bought this boat. I'll do what the fuck I want with it. Yeah.
Like, and it's kind
people in Scotland are telling people in England to tell people in America to pay for the fixing of the ship that hasn't been theirs for fucking 40 years.
Just rename that shit.
But it's like
call it the George Bush. It's fucking done. We don't have to fix shit.
And paint the name upside down.
Which Bush are we talking?
W.
Okay. Just making sure.
It's the W.
Exactly. Fuck yeah.
It's the W.
It's just inferred.
And then they make the W hotels change their name. That'd be great.
That's exactly right. So the hauntings, right? So it's considered one of the top, according to Time Magazine, they did a list of what they considered the 10 most haunted places in the world. And the Queen Mary is one of them.
So we know the rest of them are bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. If that made the top 10.
So the stuff that I read, and I was surprisingly, it was like the research was surprisingly light on specific ghosts and incidents. Like I thought I was going to find a lot fucking more than I did. Everything was just kind of summarizing the hauntings in big chunks.
It was like, a lot of people. It was a generalization of a lot of guests have reported seeing women in this area.
Right.
You know, apparently there's like thousands of different types of ghosts or spirits that they think are seen there, but there's a lot of ones that are very repetitive.
So the estimation is that there are 150 known repeatable spirits that people have supposedly seen.
Do you think it's like going into it knowing like, oh, this is supposed to be haunted, people see it, makes you see more shit?
100%.
Yeah, I did 100%. Watch I watched an interview with a guy that was the curator of the ship for years. Like, he started out as like a fucking little like luggage boy at some point for the hotel, and he worked his way up as a curator, and he makes no claim. He literally says, I never saw shit. And then for 3 weeks, like every week I saw some shit, and then it never happened again. So it was very like convincing because he didn't really have anything to gain to be like, we saw ghosts all the time and shit. He said that the climate was that if a guest saw something, that you would help talk them down and sort of explain it away and just be like, it's an old ship, it makes noise. They didn't really want to perpetuate it at the time he was employed. Now it's their fucking money thing. Now they want you to take and a haunted tour, again, hand you a Ouija board and shit.
Usually when I look at anything supernatural, those are the types of things that I care the most about. So when the reporting and the discovery of the ghost was hurting business, like pre-ghost hunters,
you know,
all that stuff, there were entire sections and staterooms of the ship that the managers just barred visitors from going to because there were so many endless fucked up encounters that it just gave them a bad name. And they were like no one could check in to stateroom B340.
Right.
Like, and there were multiple rooms, entire sections of the ship. And it was like, no tours were going to go there because everybody gets fucking freaked out because weird shit always happens.
And those BuzzFeed guys go sleep in that room. You can sleep in it.
You
now,
can
actually.
Now.
They closed it for 25 years. And the BuzzFeed guys were like some of the first people, maybe the first in 25 years to sleep in that room.
Right.
And then because it became so popular now, they charge $500
bucks a night.
And they give you like a ghost hunter kit and a Ouija board and shit to go sleep in there. But that,
and you get all the ghost tours for free. So I mean, those things are expensive anyway. I mean, the stuff I was looking at, like some of those ghost tours, like $120.
And they just tell you a guided scary, like someone died right here. Door 13 where the guy gets smashed.
Do you think ghosts get like bored? Like they're like, oh, nobody's staying in B340 anymore.
Yeah.
You
know? He's like, it's my day off. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Right. Guess I'll go.
I got called in.
So stateroom B340 is one of the most haunted ones. There's a lot written about it out there. But there's a total of 314 staterooms and 13 suites. They stopped letting guests in there. And as far back as 1967, people who would be staying on the seas, like before it was a hotel, they had a hard time renting that room, and they would rent it out for cheaper because almost everybody who stayed there would report that people would be knocking on the door in the middle of the night. The phone would ring in the middle of the night and no
shaking
one was on the
bed.
The bed would shake.
Faucets turning on.
Yep. The worst are that some people would wake up because they felt something. And when they woke up, all the blankets were like pulled off at their feet.
Mm-hmm. And there's a dark figure.
And there's
the
a
bed.
Dark figure in the, so
that's pretty fucking scary.
That's pretty fucking scary. So and again, it's a repeatable thing that the people on the ship knew about, but didn't perpetuate because it would be bad for business, but it still kept happening in that place over and over and over. And that to me shines a light on it.
Yeah.
That makes me go. And again, I've said this before, I'm pretty sure when we've talked about hauntings, I fully believe in hauntings and I fully believe in ghosts, but I can't say that I fully believe that a ghost is the spirit of the dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I don't know that I can agree.
We talked about that before. Yeah. Like it's energy.
Whatever, who knows what it is, but there's some fucked up shit.
I feel like it's like a radio station that's just not quite tuned in.
Yeah.
It's like fucking just static.
And that's the weird thing about like frequency and hertz. Like we're operating at a certain frequency. Are there things at a different frequency that we can't see? We talked about aliens.
Right.
They could be operating at a different frequency, which allows them to do different things.
Well, that TV set to HDMI now, and it's fucking showing the Mac. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I fucking hit Chromecast, I can play a YouTube video. It's just a different channel.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of think that. So the guy that was the curator, though, he had just a couple of stories. So he was the swimming pool guide during this particular week, and it was 11 a.m., which is not really like usually shit happens in the middle of the night. It's like 3 a.m. It always happens when it's dark, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like it's fucking daytime. He's not expecting anything. He's getting ready to go into the area to prepare for his shift, and he sees a woman coming up the stairs, and he's like, she's a little early. Like, she must just be kind of like lost or something.
Is that one of the pools?
Is that one of the pools?
Do you remember which one? The second class or the first class?
First class pool.
Okay.
Which he said there's no record of anyone ever actually dying because he had access to all the historical records. He's the curator. He looked back and he couldn't actually place this woman against a death because there are several deaths. There's a plaque hanging up in the boat that has like fucking 50, 60 people listed.
59
yeah.
people have died.
How many people have died and how they died. So this, he sees.
Not counting the 239 mm-hmm. who died.
Yeah, they chopped
fucking
in
ran
half,
over
yeah.
the other boat.
99 of those motherfuckers got saved by battleships that were surrounding two hours later in the freezing cold water.
Yeah.
So this one though, he sees this woman and he said the first thing he thought was she's kind of dressed fucking funny. Like she's like dated. Like she looks like she's from the 60s. Or something, and she had like flat iron fucking hair. So it was a blonde woman with like an orange vest sort of turtleneck thing on that really stood out to him. And he said he was kind of waiting for her to pass. She was coming up the stairs as he was going down, and he was going to greet her as they passed, but it sort of timed where they crossed a pillar. And so he leaned over to be like, hey, can I help you find something? Are you looking for the tour? And as they cross, he said it was like a 2 to 4 second interaction. He sees her. She's coming up the stairs. He's like, I'll wait till she's closer. The pillar goes between them for a split second. He leans over and she's just fucking gone. Nowhere to be found. And he's like, what the fuck? And he had never seen anything. You know, he's worked there forever. And he was like, okay, she just, I missed her somehow. Like, but he said, that's the only point of entry to get from the lower level to the upper level. So he like walks up to the balcony, goes to the furthest vantage point. And he's like looking like there's nowhere for you to go. You're not behind the fucking pillar. You can't leave. I am on the point where you would leave or you'd have to go back down the stairs. He's like, okay, my shift's about to begin, and just moves on and kind of dismisses it like,
that's
I don't
weird.
Know. So that's weird. Something's going on. Because he said it didn't look like someone that was like see-through. She didn't float up the
stairs.
There
was lady
she
coming
was
up
moving
stairs.
With locomotion, like he said. But what he did notice after the fact was like, oh, she wasn't making any noise. It was made of travertine tiles, and they were all loose. And he said there would be like a ruckus of sorts, like your shoes would clatter as they come up the stairs, and that wasn't occurring. So then a week later, he was inspecting an area around the pool as well, and they had just installed some floodlights for some type of thing they were doing, and his concern was like, this is some antique fucking crazy ass tile. Like, these motherfuckers are just construction dudes. I bet they're just whacking through and drilling holes. So he like hopped over the little construction barrier to go check. And he said the way that the balcony was set, he had to lean like 18 inches over this fucking thing. So he had to kind of lean out, but he was a young guy and he was agile. He felt like he could lean over to look at the thing. And as he's leaning over and looking up, something or someone grabbed him, shoved him out over the fucking thing. Like, and all he could think he said was, I'm going to fall in the fucking pool right now. And I'm going to have to tell like my superiors, like I fucking fell in the pool. I'm an ass. Like I was leaning over the balcony doing some shit. I really wasn't. I went over the construction zone. He was just thinking, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to fall. And then just as he was like on his toes about to fall, whatever it was, pulled him back over. And then he was just like, what the fuck? Like, cause he's like, did I fall?
Weird.
Would I fall? Yeah. Someone pulled me back. And then he said he actually had marks on his shoulders where like
something
grabbed had grabbed him and pushed him over. But he said in no way did he ever feel like it had malicious intent. It just felt like a prank. Like it felt playful, like, ha ha, scared the fuck out of you. You could have fallen. And pulled him back. And then the last one he did, he was standing outside. This one got weird.
And those were both at the first class pool?
Those are both at the first class pool, okay. I believe. Yeah. And this is 1979 when this went down. So this one though happens like another week later. So just a couple weeks after the first time he sees the woman on the stairs, and he had never seen anything for years. So he's standing at the bow of the boat. He said it's summertime. He's looking out over the whole boat. And all of a sudden he had what he said was like sort of a
all
vision.
All of a sudden.
All of, however the fuck you say
all
that.
All of a sudden.
Very quickly, in an instant, he experienced various visions at once. But he said all of them happened at the same time. And he was all of a sudden in New York on the final voyage, and it was freezing cold, and there was snow on the deck, and he was still wearing his fucking shorts, and he could feel the chill. And he said there was an overwhelming sense of depression because it was the last voyage. Half the people were about to lose their jobs. He had some empathy of all types of emotions all at once overcome him. And then immediately he flashed from that to like being in the charting room and someone was drawing on a chart. Then he flashed into like the bakery and a guy was putting something in the oven. And then he flashed into a room where someone was doing some type of preventative maintenance for plumbing to start the, to prime all the sinks. I guess they had to run the sinks because rust water would come out every time they started a voyage, and they didn't want guests to see it. So you have to go into every room and turn on all the sinks to let the rust water come out. He saw that. And then all of a sudden, wham, he's just standing back where he was in his fucking shorts. He said it was like a daydream, but it, just like a vision, but it was like super real. Like he had emotional empathy and felt the chill, saw snow and all this shit happened. And then all of a sudden that's was like, someone walked up like,
mind.
I think that's like overactive imagination. Yeah. I feel like
that but, right there. Like,
but the, then he was the, like, I've never had anything like that in my life happen. You know, and he was like, I don't know how to explain it. And yeah. he had no other crazy claims. He didn't go, it wasn't like the time the UFO picked me up and fucked me in the ass. Like,
yeah,
it
was still like, though, it, we've all had that, you know, like I was like,
maybe he has a memory and he like, yeah, well, got and
I was walking down the hallway and I felt like something was behind me and I fucking took off running, you know, like, you know, we've had those experiences. I think your mind is powerful. You know, we've talked about that.
I walked briskly something, from the garage last night as I closed the door and turned off all the lights.
Something,
I was like, God, it's dark out here.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I mean, people have, you know, an imagination, and like he might have just been in that zone, you know,
or what
type of drugs he on as in the 70s.
A friend of mine went on a Queen Mary tour, and so at the first class pool, that's one of the main places where a lot of things get seen. Regular sightings of a woman in like a 1930s bathing suit that people. Like apparently it would get reported a lot because people would make like an offhand comment to someone working on the ship
it wasn't waxed, no Brazilian. Yeah, you could see it coming out. It was like buckwheat in a scissor lock. Yeah.
But they would make
that's
comments
why
of like
Bush.
They thought it was They thought it was like a member of like a tour or like like someone in the 1930s is going to come out they would comment
synchronized
about the,
swimming was about
right
to go
exactly
down.
And they would be like, we have no idea what you're talking about. But the other thing is there would be a little girl that would show up holding a teddy bear that people would see.
That's straight out of a scary movie.
That is straight out of a scary movie. And I wish I would have given him a shout out to find out, but I remember a friend of mine went on a tour of the Queen Mary long time ago, and he said at one of the pools, like he and a friend of his saw like a little girl that was like separated from the tour, and they were like getting ready to like get the tour guide's attention and like point out the little girl who was like kind of on the other side of the pool to make sure they didn't leave her. And when they looked back over there was no little girl.
That's a common sighting. It's like someone named Jackie or Jacqueline.
Actually, Jackie is on the second class pool.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know which pool it was, but then on the same trip,
that's crazy. That was a friend you had.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
on the same trip, he was, upstairs.
Like acid trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like he saw an old man like trip and like crank his head on some like fucking huge metal rivet. And he said that he just hit the ground, his head hit the metal rivet. There was just immediately pool of blood and the guy wasn't fucking moving. And like everyone just got ushered away from him.
That was real though. That
was real.
Someone
like,
died.
Someone fucking died like right in front of him on fucking Queen Mary.
Speaking of that banana peel slip that whoever posted, that fucking girl almost died.
Yeah.
She hit her head on the back of the curb, fucking being stupid and jumping on that banana.
Yeah.
She thought it wasn't going to be slippery.
She like took the banana and like act like she was, it was like it was made for Dave. Like she pretended to answer banana phone, threw it on the ground and then jumped and landed on the banana and just fucking slipped and her head goes boom and bounced off the curb behind her.
This is a PSA for people who don't think bananas are slippery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slippery. She went straight down.
Banana jackets are slippery. You can masturbate with them. Mm-hmm. You eat the banana and masturbate with the banana jacket. Yeah.
Banana jacket. Yeah. I've never heard it referred to as such.
I like it though.
Yeah.
So the other
take the jacket
thing,
on, jacket off. Mm-hmm. That's right. Banana jacket on, jacket off.
The engine rooms. The engine room has a door called door 13, which crushed two different people to death.
Oh, it's door 13.
Two people. I saw the
should
one.
You not have door 13? Like it should be 11.
Yeah. 12, how many doors are in there 14. Too that happen to be 13? That's
right,
weird.
Exactly.
Yeah. I almost think it's creepy that like hotels don't have a 13th floor. When you know when you're on the 14th floor, you're on the 13th floor.
Yeah.
Like just because you call it 14,
we know.
Does it make it 14?
Yeah.
I think if you do the contra code on there, there is a 13th floor.
I think you have to do
maybe.
It's just
I think you would have to build a 13th floor and just not let people go to it.
Like, there's people the outside way. Just counting with their whole their thumb like up with one eye closed.
Yeah, there's 30 like in Vegas, you know, there's 34 floors. You go inside and there's only 33 floors.
Exactly.
That's probably like the penthouse. They don't tell you like one more button. Yeah,
it's the fuck you floor. Yep. It's the fuck face peasant floor. Yeah. So other things, there's a woman in white who is in the Queen's, the ship's Queen Salon. And people will see a woman with a long white gown dancing like to an orchestra, in the salon. And that's a regular occurrence that people have seen. And then various staterooms, not just that one. There's a section where a tall, dark haired man in a 30s style suit, can be seen, in the middle of the night. Again, phones will ring throughout the whole area. In the third class children's playroom, people will hear a baby crying, and they'll always report it to people. Yeah. They're like, why is there a baby crying? And they're like, there is no baby
crying. Shut that fucking baby up.
That could be some squeaky machinery, though, echoing.
The weird thing about it is, though, like, whether you think it's, you know, people's minds or not, is that they're seeing the same thing. And that's, they're not that's the same the people. Part. That's they're not the with, part. They're not with each other. You know what I mean? It's not right. A group of people saw this. It's throughout the years.
And again, now
different
like,
people have,
and it's kind of hard to find these. So it's not like you have pre-exposed to urban myth.
Right.
Well, like no, I knew
cause we went looking for
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I knew that it's supposedly haunted,
but you don't know those details.
Yeah. I don't know who or what, you know,
like
where
my friend
you saw things.
Didn't ever research it and know that little girls were seen near the fucking pool and he saw the little girl near the pool.
Yeah.
Like, and again, even as is always the case, when I look at fucking UFO sightings or hauntings or whatever, like pre-internet days when the ship had no reason, when the ship had financial incentive to hide the hauntings,
and did not
the same
the
shit still happened to multiple people, and they would always get written down in the captain's log. So there's like a long record of what was seen and where it was seen.
Stardate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
did you see that they had built over the anchor room or whatever it was? And during some like reconstruction shit, like just a few years back, like in 2009, they found a whole fucking room that had been shut since 1960 because during construction or something, they had closed it off. And it was the room that the anchor drops out of. And there's this whole fucking huge space that's just been fucking sealed off and they'd forgotten about it. I'd have to imagine there's fucking more like that. I think so.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Be. Even in your fucking.
I think that was Captain John Treasure Jones' like secret sex room.
Maybe. Probably. It was a masturbatorium.
Yeah. So he kept his treasure.
Opens a valve and washes it down.
Yeah,
all does. The semen washes right out.
Yeah.
No, even in like your own house, like I blow my own mind sometimes. I'm like, wait a minute, that wall is facing this where there's a closet.
Right.
And I'm like, that's my kitchen. Is there a fucking weird hollow space right there? Like you're trying to do the measurement in your head. I can only imagine in a ship like that.
That's been retrofitted so significantly.
A billion times,
Yeah.
There was that thing on
what's hidden in the walls.
Like American Pickers. That guy had like a fucking, what's that motorcycle that they always like? I don't know. There's a motorcycle brand.
Oh, it's just Harley Davidson.
It wasn't Harley, though. It was
Indian.
It's a flathead.
Indian. Yeah. It was Indian. This guy had an old Indian motorcycle place, and they like framed a wall, and he must have just been drunk and been like, well, we'll cut a door out over here. We'll just put the wall up first. And then they like never did, and the dad died. And so they were like doing some construction in the garage. There was like 5 feet of like more building that no one ever gave it any thought.
And there were motorcycles.
It was all new old stock, crazy shit behind this fucking wall that was still brand new
they
in the package.
Out about those motorcycles too.
Yeah.
Like those early, the first
always
Harley
the flat,
Davidsons.
Like they're always looking for the.
Yeah, but the early, like the 34 Harley Davidson
they'll
or whatever.
Pay like $17,000 for some spiderweb fucking rat nest.
Yeah. More
like,
than
God,
that.
Damn. Yeah, I know.
And then they'll dump 10 grand in it to get it up to speed and fucking make a profit.
Yeah.
You know?
There's some of that shit though. You're like, how did that even get to the backwoods of Arkansas? Some old dude that looks like Gandalf has the first Volkswagen engine from a fucking like some German thing that's like stamped. And you're like, how did that get here?
Yeah.
How did that get here?
I have to admit, I'm not a huge reality show fan. I fucking love that show.
Did you ever watch the reality show?
No, it kind of isn't. I know a lot of it's a put on and so forth, but at the end of the day, I think they are genuinely going to these
places. Yeah, you know they met. They're like, hey, this is Frank and Mike. We got this flyer.
Really?
Get the
I've
fuck
never
out
heard of you before on the 13th season of a very popular show doing exactly what we do.
Like those people in the backwoods places they go might not even have
TV. Did you guys
TV.
See the one though where there's the guy that's kind of special and he has that they go down into some hole and it's like Lego color painted 2x4s and he built this fucking like mine shaft that goes 2 stories underground and it's just made out of doors and like 2x4s that are painted multicolor and he has all kinds of antique toys and shit down there. Huh. It is freaky as fuck.
Because
that's
he
just
takes
that
him
one
down
place.
There to kill him.
Yeah,
it was some shit like that. Like if he had been a little bit special in the wrong direction, he would have bodies instead of like toys.
No, I can't see my toys.
Exactly.
So yeah. So at the end of the day, the Queen Mary's dope. If you live in California or if you're making a vacation trip,
I mean, well, I only stayed there for one night. You're going to go to Disney. Yeah. You can go to Long Beach.
Yeah, make a night of, you know, if you're coming to LA as a tourist destination, spend the night on the Queen Mary. It's kind of cool. Good restaurants, like, you know, lots of stuff right there. It's like in a really big hub of, you know, nightlife and activity.
Yeah. Don't do it this week.
Long Beach is cool.
The world is on fire right now.
Yeah, don't do it this
traffic
week.
For 8 hours.
Down there?
Somewhere. I know that. Yeah.
It's up north.
No, it's in
fire.
LA too. There's huge fire.
My brother lives in Ventura, had no power, and it took like his fiance like 3 hours to make her 45 minute drive.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Joe Rogan got evacuated. He had to go like stay with his family at his studio.
Wow.
Had to get moved from his house.
Yeah. Now we have friends going up north taking supplies. Yeah. Their friend's house got burned down.
So hopefully everyone's okay.
Yeah.
On that note, we have prizes.
Yes.
We have a social media prize every week. I don't know if I said this. We give a t-shirt away every week. More than one t-shirt, but I don't say that we give a t-shirt away. I announce that there's a winner of a t-shirt, but someone on that Facebook post, when we share an episode, somebody gets a t-shirt every week. So this week that is Corey Smith, because we appreciate him sharing or her sharing possibly, our Schwarzenegger episode. Cause as we were all talking about, Facebook is a real motherfucker and they, for the craziest whatever reasons, just try to make it really difficult for you to get the word out that you exist and have a show.
Because it's not fucking crazy. It's because they want you to pay.
We do pay those. Right.
Yeah, they want you to pay a lot of money. Yeah.
So it's
paying enough.
And the moral to the story is we really appreciate you guys sharing our stuff on social media and engaging, commenting, because that's what you don't realize. Like that stuff, when someone shows up to a post and they see that it has 25 comments or this many shares or this many likes, it's a psychological thing for other people. Like, oh, this must be cool. Then it gives it some type of
it's validation is all it is.
And like Brent has said before, if your finances are such that you can't be a patron and you want to support us in some way, that's a completely free way to genuinely support us, just hit like and share. Just fucking share a post on your page and it's
you can see views versus likes on stuff. And I'm like, look, 1,000 people viewed this, 200 people liked it. And you're like, just put your thumb down.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. Maybe
the other 800 didn't like it.
Or they didn't like it. That's impossible. Yeah. That clip was hilarious.
Right.
They're not all hilarious, but that one.
But at the end of the day, even if you listen to the clip and you don't like it, fucking click like.
Just like it. Yeah. Help us out. You like the next one. So anyways, thank you to, Corey Smith for sharing our episode on Facebook. We're going to send you a t-shirt. So, Frankie Pigeons is going to hit you up and get your shirt size, let them know. And, I will mail you a shirt out. Also, we mailed out all the membership ID cards. So they're actually on their way.
Yes.
Short of 17 patrons that fell off. So if you think you're one of them, go check your status. Cause I might have your card sitting there cause you're not a patron anymore and you like just missed that shit. So, if you want to participate, we're going to do some cool stuff. We're going to do some augmented reality scavenger hunt type stuff. And that card helps you get to that, the ability to do that. So, go check out our Patreon and support us on that. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That is our primary sponsor. We also give out sauce every week. That was that El Yucateco winner that you heard at the beginning of the episode. So every week on Fridays, generally we post just a picture of food and we ask you to do the same, show us something that you made with El Yucateco Hot Sauce, during the week. And then we choose one of those and we mail them hot sauce, stickers, prizes, sunglasses, flip-flops, t-shirts, beach towels, all kinds of shit, whatever El Yucateco swag has given us. We pass that along to you for helping us spread the word about the hot sauce, because it's fucking delicious. It'll change your mac and cheese game. XXX is where it's at. If you put that shit in mac and cheese, if you're eating carbs,
the mac and cheese is good.
If you're not, XXX. It makes that is good, dude.
Man,
mac and cheese XXX.
My son's daycare, his they call her Nana.
Mm-hmm.
She don't like cheese. I'm just like, man, how do you not like cheese? Like, she's not vegan. You know what I mean?
She lactose intolerant, though? No, might make her fart for a week.
Nope. She likes the taste. Like,
that's fucking weird. That's
fucking weird.
I wouldn't trust her.
Yeah, I know. I told her that. I was
with
like,
your children.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, we're going to have to pull him.
Yeah. Dude, I was at Lengthwise and Mondo was telling me a funny story. He said one of his kids played a trick on his other little kid. They're both young. Like, I mean, they're like 9 and under, right?
Yeah, so, 9 months. Yeah.
His one kid put XXX in water and was stirring it up and giving it to his little brother.
Oh, man.
And so he said he just saw him stirring the water and hand it to his youngest son. And his youngest son took a drink and then like took off running, going, "You're mean," and ran down the hallway or whatever. So I just said his name. I don't know if I should, but Mondo walked up not knowing what was in the water technically and was like, what like did you do? Water. He's like, yeah. I put hot sauce in his water. And he didn't know what hot sauce. And he said he went to go dump it out and he was going to be in trouble. He's like, nope,
take a drink.
Drink it. He's like, drink it. And told him, drink it. Yeah, he's like, keep drinking it. And he made him chug the rest of the water.
Oh,
and then he was all,
I could have been bad.
You're mean. And he takes off running the hallway. I was like, fool, your wife's going to come around drink it.
Yeah, drink the bottle straight.
So then upon,
and then Mondo cried and screamed, you're mean.
Upon investigation.
And then later on, too.
It was XXX in fucking water. And he was like, oh, shit. Like, what's funny, too, is when I had the taco shop, we called that Mondo sauce. We called XXX Mondo sauce. That was our secret hot sauce. And
came around full circle.
Came around full circle, though.
Right. Yeah. At your wife's birthday party, we did see Tommy two jujitsu socks.
Oh, he was there. Yeah. He was wearing socks under there, too.
Yeah, he was. He had his
had we challenged
socks
him,
on.
He would have kept them on.
Yeah.
Can't touch the ground. So, also, thank
I mean,
you
he fucks with his socks on.
Yeah.
I bet he does.
He does.
He has carpet.
He pushes off the bed rail. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have hardwood floors, you got to take the socks off.
Right.
You got to get the sticky grip on the floor or be close to a wall where you can put your foot up.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you will slip.
Yeah. Speaking of slip fucking, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. They actually just printed us some cool, surf wax stickers that are, multicolor like the shirts.
Did they do those?
Yeah. Everybody that's getting that shirt, there will be a sticker and that's a limited sticker. So, and then there may
feel
be some
special.
Leftovers and we'll
feel
see
special.
If anyone else gets those special ones. Those are actually coming quick. Jimmy D did a good job. And speaking of Jimmy D, he's got our shirts on the way. So I will be redistributing those as soon as they're in my hands. I think I might have them by like Wednesday this week. And then it'll take some time to repack those and stuff. So cards on the way, post them if you get them.
And there's other
brag.
Shit. Other shit, secret
there's
shit.
Other shit that I'm not even going to say. It's just going to show up.
If you get something,
then thank
post
you.
Post
you,
it. Tag
yeah, you
it.
Deserved it.
Yeah. And you deserved it. And thank you.
Yeah, there's stuff coming for people that don't even know, and it's because we appreciate you, so thank you. And then thank you to, Jimmy D's Tees. You can check out his website. He makes shirts. He sells shirts. Go check him out. And then thank you to Digital Creations. They make the coffee mugs that we have on our website, and we have other stuff on our website. Thanks to everyone that ordered everything. We had a good month. A lot of people ordered a lot of stuff, and we really appreciate the support. We have stickers and coffee mugs and T-shirts.
Jimmy D's also making Sofa King nut rags, so if you'd purchase one of those, we'll get them up on the website just for cleanup, you know, dish towel or whatever you want to use it for or both.
Mm-hmm.
Is that wrong?
What?
Is that wrong?
To throw it away?
Yeah.
The dish
rag,
towel?
And then
well,
use it
gonna
as
wash
a dish
it?
Towel. Like, is it like the bad mojo on the knives?
Yes.
You know, that's what, you know, do you ever get weird going into somebody else's house and like you use the restroom and the towels are hanging there, you know, you wash your hands.
Probably not that
get weird.
It's grossed out anyway because that towel's just hanging there for them to dry their hands. That's always gross.
Yeah.
You know but I mean? Is it as bad though as if they didn't change it and they like fucking, you know, wiped off with it after some
I don't
fucking.
Think they wiped off on that.
You never know. I don't change my towels out.
Yeah. You would know though. It'd be all crunchy and
not
shit.
Not necessarily.
Mm. If it's mashed potato loads, you know.
Right.
Yeah. What do you got? Social media?
Go to Reddit, r/SofaKingPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, @SofaKingPodcast. Go to our personal Instagrams, @SofaKingBrad, @SofaKingBrent, @SofaKingDave. Also, check out the Captain_SK Quotes.
Oh, you know what? Birthday. Happy birthday to Nicole Bosch, since you said that. Sorry. It's her birthday on Monday.
Stupid hooker.
Yeah. I'm surprised she made it this far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a body count she's laid behind her. She's got a
record. Well, she has AIDS and she hasn't died from it yet. So
she's probably a sickle cell.
Yeah. Sickle cell anemia.
It's the first.
She got that celly
white
cell.
White African
yeah,
prostitute.
They call her celly cell in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also check out,
cell.
Yeah. Check out Hilgenfeld if you need some artwork done. Great cartoonist, freelancer. He also does deals where he does like
pickles
fucking shit for $25, you know, and you can get yourself some artwork done. Very awesome to work with. I've worked with him. Dave's worked with him. Brent's worked with him.
Sexually speaking,
very very awesome dude. Also like, I always get weird about, you know, trying to work with somebody about art or something they have to put a lot of work into, and then you're like, I don't really
not quite
like
there.
It
he's open-minded.
You don't want to tell him like I don't really like that, or I want to change this or that. He's fucking great.
I had illustration sex with him. I didn't even know it was like sexting. I didn't know it was a thing. Like we just drew erotic pictures back. His way better than mine.
Yeah.
But I'm really good at drawing dicks. So I would just send him a dick pic that I hand drew.
Yeah.
You know, really vascular is what he's into. And then he would send me back the counterpart that I needed to get me up. I don't want to get into it because it's kind of personal. But I sent
dicks. It's just a jar of peanut butter.
God damn it.
Just drew a jar of peanut butter.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a hole in the middle.
It was a chunk holding peanut butter. chunky peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah, we call it peanut gape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like, instead of Watergate.
Peanut butter and gape jelly. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's great to work with. So if you have, you know, something you need drawn up, cover art for something, anything, if you have a podcast,
peanut butter erotica.
Yeah. You need peanut butter erotica. He's your man. I know he worked on some stuff for us. He did our cover art that's on iTunes and we made changes to it and I was like, you know, this, that, and great. Awesome. He just fucking 2 minutes and he's back with something different. You're like, holy fuck. How's this guy draw that fast? And it's good, you know? Yeah. So, check him out. Also, if you want to be a Sculpt Member of the Month, you probably want to be a patron. That'll be coming up next month. We're looking for a new one. Make yourself known.
Maybe some people are watching this video live right now.
Yeah, some people are watching it live.
Upper Patreon.
If you're the upper echelon of Patreon. Speaking of that, go to patreon.com/sofakingpodcast and you can support the show. If you have the extra funds to, I know some people don't, which we commented earlier about liking, commenting, sharing, all that stuff. That also helps if you can't donate your hard earned cash monies to the show.
And we give back.
We appreciate it. Yeah. And we do give back. We try to. We really try
whiskey
to.
Glasses and shout outs and early episodes and video content. Yeah.
And great songs at the end of the show that you artists you've never heard of, you know.
The last one, I couldn't use it. I had to find, like, I had to get so creative, man. That one was just like, I literally think they said the N-word like 180 times.
I like it.
CJ Laser and I did a test as I was editing. I was like, I can click in any spot and it will immediately say
I don't
the
even
N-word.
Hear that.
I was
when
all.
I, when I listen to music, I don't even
I have
hear
to
it.
Think about it because social media, like I can't use it. So I was like, click and it
doesn't
was just
do
like,
anything
N-word,
anyway.
N-word, N-word, no matter where
more,
you click.
Nine more views. Yeah. Fuck them.
Nice.
It was crazy.
You just kept clicking on the N-words.
Yeah.
No, dude, it was all the way through it. I mean, yes, I did because it was composed entirely of that. It was either their lyric or it was the hook.
Well,
it was
maybe
like
this
constant.
Song will be different. It's
what's
the
it called?
Song is Seth by Analyst.
Maybe.
Don't be a retard.
The world's beginning to know me as Analyst. But those around me will forever know me as Seth. That's my real name if you ain't know. Let me give y'all some Seth.
See how it work, no time for rehearsing. Mean with the verse, but I'm nicer in person. Bleed for my turf, cause my mind is so urban. Clean as a person that lies in detergent. He takes words and combines them to verses. Ties them like turbans, I'm tight as a virgin. I have been swerving all night like a serpent. Might go berserk with a knife like a surgeon. They like how I serve him, strike him on purpose. I am so sure that my life's like a circus. I am not nervous, I'm just observing. Murderous type, but I'm fighting the urges. Kids got the courage to make a shit flourish. Spit is a verb while I'm twisting a verb. Lifted as if I don't live on this earth. Vicious, I hit you with shit till it hurts. No lie, y'all so emo. So go cry, watch your lingo though, bro. I got to reload my 4-5-4-5 like Golden Eye. Get a load of my little load of nine. Kid is so live, and then on my show's hot. Lit low life, yeah, I'm getting so high. This is Muay Thai, how I kick multis. Fight's over, I ain't bipolar. I'm cuckoo like the psycho joker. Might strike you with a pint of cola. Pipe your boo, make her bite my cobra. Quite a loca, skin is like mocha. In a white thong when she sits on my sofa. Keep the lights on whenever I poke her. Hit it while I'm giving her a hit of my doja. Anything goes when he's in the zone. I'm a gigolo with the wicked flow, do you feel the tone? Making any hoe fall to a figure flow, blowing on my piccolo, loving when she lick it slow. Stop fronting, come confront him. Knuckle up, cuz for a couple concussions. Blood rushing, got a gun busting. I'ma keep dumping until you're just nothing. I'm a king, wise like a pharaoh, bobbing like Robert De Niro, grinding for commas and zeros, rocking the hottest apparel. That's why I look fly as an arrow. Finding some wine in the barrel. I've got the grind in the wheel like I'm Pharaoh, slicing you like I was Pharaoh. Your IQ is zero. I guess that must be why your mind is so narrow. We sold you refund or refunds. We stole your visa, I need funds. He's sort of a beast, but you're weak, cuz I consider you weak as the weakest. Just ask for this cat to whip ass. Spit fast to give cats a whiplash. Kick back with zigzags, a big stash, and a little dab of thick wax to get smacked. I be killing them, the kid is on the roll. I be on the liquor, so how quick are gonna go? Rhyming so original, you people copy flows. Kinda like a criminal, the way I slide the shows. Thank God for this flow that I've got. A's got the gift hold, so why stop? Stay confidential when I talk, cuz they all want some info on my thoughts. He is a trendsetter, I'm a G like the seventh letter, never let up. We gon' get better, cheddar, shred up, and MC till his head is severed. Or B till the fella's fed up, so he can never feel a cerebellum developer. Even better, I'ma mail him a letter and tell him when I see him, I'ma have to greet him with a set of Berettas.
Real shit, I built this from realness. Illness, no pills meant to heal this. Premonition that when you listen, you'll feel this. Definition of demolition, I kill this. Reminiscing on when I'm dissing your repetition. Every time I listen, it's evident I don't feel shit. Admitted, I'm a visionist. You're irrelevant as a television is. I'ma hit the kill switch. Y'all finna see. Flow like a yacht in the sea. Y'all is beneath. Watching them drop to their knees. Caution them, causing a scene. Constant routine. And it's just obvious we. Chilling like Cali, cause I got the keys. Profiting, cause I release all my thoughts over beats while I'm watching these dollars increase. Peace.